Today's Shir's Masechta Yevam Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the wide lines. Begins the Gemara Man Tana Lahad Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana of the following Brisa? The Pasuk says Yevama Yava Aleha. The Torah says that the Yavam that should have relations with his Yevama teaches us the Brisa Mitzvah. And the Brisa continues Shebetchila Haisa Allah Bechlal Heter, and the Gemara is going to explain everything. Originally, this woman was mutter to him because he could marry this woman. This brother could have married this woman. Nesra, and then this woman became also to him because she became an Eshes Ach, she married his brother. She became an Eshes Ish because she became a married woman. And then, after his brother passed away without any children, Chazra, now she becomes mutter to him. Now the mitzvah of Yibum comes in. Yachal tachs latera rishin. Maybe she be considered like she was before the brother married her. Tamalami yavama yava aleha. Mitzvah. That it's a mitzvah. Man tana. So ask the Gemara, who is the tana of this brisa? And what is meant to teach us with this brisa? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, the tana of this brisa is Abishalhu. The Brice is following Abishol, who, as we've been learning over the last number of Shurim, Abishol's opinion is that a man could only do Yibum when he means the Shem Mitzvah. Vachikam, and this is the way to learn the Brice. The Pasuk says, Yivama Yava Aleha Mitzvah. The Mitzvah, the Yibum, should only be done with the intent to fulfill a Mitzvah. Betchila, originally, Ha'is Allah Bechlal Heter. Originally, she was allowed to marry this brother. And when he got married, if he would have married her before the mitzvah of Yibum, the halacha would be Ratzah L'shem Noi. He can marry her because of beauty, Ratzah L'shem Ishus. He wants to do a mitzvah. Whatever his intention would have been fine. Nesra, if she became Asa to him because she married his brother, and she became an Eshes Ach, then the brother died without any children. Chazra Hutra. Now he is allowed to marry her. Yachal Tachza Teiru Rishayin. We would think that goes back to its original status, and he can marry her whatever his intent is. Tamaloymer Yavama Yavala. The Brice is teaching us that he could only marry her if his intent is L'Shei Mitzvah. But if his intention is not L'Shei Mitzvah, then the halacha is that it's as if he's having relations with an erva. And as the Rishonim and Achronim all explain, this woman is really an Eshes Ach. This woman, as we often explain, is a serious erva. The reason he's allowed to marry her, because it's L'Shei Mitzvah. And therefore he's allowed to marry her. But if his intent is not L'Shei Mitzvah, so Abishol says he's not allowed to marry her. So now the question, as we mentioned in our previous year, is what's the halacha if he has dual intentions? So Noi Behuda holds that as long as his intention is not purely Shalai L'Shma for non-Yibam purposes, then he can marry her. If it's done Stama, continues the Noi Behuda, without any intent at all, then it's also valid according to Abishol, because he explains that if it was done without any specific kavana, it's considered as if he did it l'shma. Says the Noi Behuda, if there's a combined kavana, l'shma and shalai l'shma, he has a mind to fulfill the mitzvah, but he has one of the other motives as well. Explains the Noi Behuda, also, it would be considered a valid Yibam. Rav Moshe Zatzal and the Divrei Moshe disagrees. According to Rav Moshe, Abishol's opinion is that it has to be purely L'Shei Mitzvah. If there's a combination, it would not be considered valid. The Mishnah, and Mitzvah Shem we're going to learn, on Naf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, teaches us that Yibam is effective even if it's done B'Shogeg. The Yavam did not realize that he was performing an act of Yibum with the Yavama, it's still good enough to be considered a valid Yibum. Says the Ramban, it must be that the Tan of that Mishnah is not Abishol. Because obviously the Tan of that Mishnah holds that even if Yibum is performed without the proper intentions, it's still going to be considered a valid Yibum. But according to Abishol, the Yibum is only considered a valid Yibum if he means L'shei Mitzvah. So it seems, says the Ramban, that Mishnah cannot be consistent with the opinion of Abishol. The Rosh, however, disagrees, and he says that Mishnah is even consistent with the opinion of Abishol, because we find that the Rosh paskins like Abishol, and not only does he paskin like Abishol, he also paskins like that Mishnah. So the Achronim attempt to understand how we could have the halacha that's taught in that Mishnah also be consistent with the opinion of Abishol. The Nerd of Yehuda says that, consistent with the Nerd of Yehuda's opinion, that Abishol only invalidates a Yibam if it was done purely Shalai Lishma. But if it was done Stoma, or if it wasn't done purely Shalai Lishma, even Abishol would consider it a valid Yibam. Beis Shmuel says that even though the Mishnah there says that a Yibam that's performed Shalai Lishma is affected, that doesn't mean that that's what should be done. In other words, explains the Beis Shmuel, even Abishol that says that a Yibam has to be done Shalai Lishma, it has to be done Lishma, and if it was done Shalai Lishma, it is like you had relations with an Erva, that doesn't mean that Abishol will hold that it's not a valid Yibam. But the Eved, it's a valid Yibam. The Mukhi Yosef says that Abishol requirement that the Yibam has to be done L'Shei Mitzvah that's only Midrabonon. But the Raisa, Abishol will agree that the Yibam is effective even if it's done Shalai L'Shma Midraisa. It's only Midrabonon that required that it should be done L'Shma. And therefore, explains the Mukhi Yosef, that Mishnah, which is clearly speaking about a Yibam that wasn't done Lishma, could still follow the opinion of Abishol, because that Mishnah is teaching us the halacha of what is the halacha midaraisa. And Abishol's statement is only a halacha midrabanan, and therefore there's no machlokes. Rava goes back to the beginning of our shir, and Rava says that the braisa that we quoted at the beginning of our shir does not have to necessarily follow the opinion of Abishol. Afilu Tema, it could even follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, that don't need that the Yibam should be done l'shma. Vachkamer. This is the way the braisa will be understood. Yivama Yavalea, mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to do Yibam, and Yibam is preferable over Chalitza. Shevetchila, again, this woman, before his brother married her, Hois b'chlal heter, this brother, the Yavam, could have married her. Rotza, the kainzai, he could have married her if he wanted to. Rotza ain't a kainzai, he had the choice. Nesra, once she became usur to him, because she married his brother, she's an eshes ach, she's an eshes ish. And then the brother died without any children. Chazav hutra, she becomes mutter. Yochsh tachs la teri rishona, at the beginning, she fall back to original status, where Rotsa and a Kainzai, he has the right to choose if he wants to marry her or marry her. Teaches us the Braisa. Ask the Mara, Rotsa and a Kainzai, how could you suggest that he doesn't have to marry her? For Gidaba, there's Zika here. She's a Shishmeris Yovim. B'chdi, Tepuk, can we say that she just could terminate their relationship? Eleima, Rotsa Kainzai, what the Braisa means to say, that if he wants to, he can marry her. He could do chalitza, tamaloymer, and that's why the braisa comes to teach us that even though he has the choice to do yibam or chalitza, yivam and yavala, it's preferable that he should do yibam. That's the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, emoresha. The braisa, the Gemara quotes a braisa that speaks about when a carbon mincha is brought, and the halacha is that when a carbon mincha is brought, the koimitz, the fistful that the kohen takes off in the karma mincha is burnt on the mizbeach, and then the Torah says, "For neseres mimenu yoichul arav abonav." and the shirayim are eaten by the kohanim. The Braisa continues, matzahs ta'ichol b'makom kadosh. So the pasuk says that you should eat them b'makom kadosh. And the question is that this pasuk seems to be superfluous, because the pasuk already says v'adneseres v'menu yoichol aron abonav, that the shirayim, as we just said, that the shirayim should be eaten by the kohanim. It says the Braisa mitzvah. But the pasuk is coming to teach us is a mitzvah. Shvetchila, before the carbon mincha, before this carbon mincha was made into carbon mincha, ha'isla b'chal heter, you could have eaten it. They were kosher ingredients that may be eaten. Nesra, but once these ingredients were put into the klisharis and they were designated as a carbon mincha, they become also to be eaten until the kamitzah is performed. After the kamitzah is performed, chazer v'hutra. We'll see what that means in a moment. Tamaloimer matzatoich l'makom kadosh mitzvah. So Gemara says that the wording of these two brises that we've discussed in our shiur today is very similar. So bishlam l'rava d'amar, according to Rava, who explained that the brise we began the shiur today with is following the opinion of the Rabbanon, Hamani Rabbanon, that when it says mitzvah by Yibum, it meant to say that Yibum is the preferable mitzvah over chalitza. Hacha, the brayse is going to be explained this way. Hacha, a matzah ta'ichel makom kadosh, mitzvah, there's a mitzvah for the kohen to eat it. To betchila hoisa ala b'chlal heter, originally before that, it was something that would maybe eaten. Rotza achla, rotza ein achla. Asked the Gemara, rotza ein achla, rotza achla, rotza ein achla, how could you say that? Rotza ein achla, how can I eat it? With halacha is v'reik siva achlo isam ashikupa behem. The Torah says, and as I saw the Rishonim explain, the basis of this drasha is the word isam to teach us milam shekahanim oichlim v'gbailim eskaprim. So we see from here that the eating of the kohanim is absolutely essential for the kapara. So how can we say rotza oichla rotza en oichla? Ella rotza. If he wants to eat, fine. Rotza kainacha achlai. Or maybe a different kind can eat it, not necessarily the kind that brought it. Tamaloimer, that's why the pasuk says, matzah teichel makom kadosh mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that the kind who did the avoida should eat it, and not a different kind. That's the way to understand the pasuk. Ask Taisus that the Gemara Masechta Gedushin says that the pasuk says l'kol b'nei Aaron tia ish ka'achiv, that all the kohanim have an equal share in the karban mincha, and here we're learning that only the kohen who actually brings the karban mincha should be the one to eat from it. Answers Taisus that what the pasuk means to say, what the Gemara here says, that the kohen who brought it should eat from it, means that the kohen not dafka, not necessarily the kohen who was mak of the carbon, but it has to be the kohen from this base av, from this mishma. Another teretz Taisus suggests is that the kohen who brings the actual carbon mincha should eat a little of the carbon mincha. There's a mitzvah that he should eat a little of the carbon mincha, and the rest of it is what the Gemara Masechta Kedusha means to say all kohanim could eat. But it continues the Gemara. El Arvisu Rav Dimi, that started to our shir by saying, Dama Abishohi, that the Braisa is referring to the opinion of Abishol, that a person could do the Yibum L'shem Mitzvah, or Shaloi L'shem Mitzvah, ask the Gemara, and that would be what the Braisa is coming to teach us. You could do it L'shem Mitzvah, you could do it not L'shem Mitzvah. And the Braisa is teaching us that it should be done. The original Braisa was teaching us the opinion of Abishol, that Abishol said that it should be done l'shem mitzvah. So that's understandable, as the Gemara, when we speak about Yibum, where it can be done l'shem mitzvah, or it can be done with the proper motive, or the shloi l'shem mitzvah without the proper motive. But how do we define that similarly when we speak about the kohen eating from the karban mincha? Says the Gemara, v'chitem, perhaps we'll explain, rotz l'teyoven, achloi, that he could eat it with appetite, eat it to enjoy, rotz achila gasla achloi, and that you could eat it as an achila gasa. And the Pasuk is teaching us that you should eat it the proper way and not eat it as an achila gasa. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that that is an option? Mi achila gasa mishma achila? Could anybody suggest that achila gasa is considered a legitimate way of eating? If somebody eats in a fashion that's an achila gasa, even though, of course, we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but we eat in the fashion of an achila gasar potter. It's not considered to eat. Because the Torah says on Yom Kippur, Ki kol nefesh shlo una, su'una, betzem ayoyim azeh, v'nichrusom ameo, that only when you eat in a normal fashion is it considered a violation of loy su'una. But if you eat achila gasar, it's not a violation. So if that's not considered an act of achila, so what are the two options how to eat? Elo, rotz matzah achloi. Maybe what the Bryce is teaching us is that if you can eat it as matzah, rotz chometz achloi, or you can eat it as chometz. Ask the Gemara, how can we make such a suggestion that maybe you could eat the carbon mincha as chometz? The pasuk says explicitly, v'ksiv, v'haksiv, loisafa chometz chalkam, v'amre shlakish, v'filu chalkam. Even the part that goes to the Kohanim may not be eaten chametz. It has to be eaten loisaf chametz. It may not be eaten chametz. It has to be eaten as matzah. So we're back to what, if we want to compare it to the way Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi explained the Brais of Yibum, what are the two options on how to eat the Karban Mincha? Ella says, Rotza matzah achla, rotza cholet. What they used to do is put the dough into boiling water, and then they would bake that dough. Maybe that would be a legitimate way to eat the Karban Mincha. That's why the pasuk says, matzah ta'echel, eating it in the cholot fashion is not acceptable. But ask the Gemara, hai cholot hechidami, exactly what do you mean when you say it should be eaten cholot? In matzahi, if after it's cholot, it's still considered matzah, so matzahi, so what's the question? Vi lav matzahi, if chalita, it takes it away for being considered matzah. So the Torah says matzah. The Torah explicitly said matzah. Matzah am rachmana. The Torah says it has to be eaten matzah. So how could we suggest that you could eat it cholot? Says the Gemara, la'olam emalach matzahi. I'll tell you that even when it's cholot, it's still considered matzah. Even when it's cholot, it's still considered matzah. Alach etana bekra. So then what's the question? Lakiv. The Torah says matzahs toichel, and the Torah says v'chla matzahs, to teach us that even though it's cholot, it's not considered matzah as far as a kosher way to eat a karban mincha. But ask the Gemara, on one hand we're saying that even though it's cholot, it's still considered matzah. On the other hand we're saying that you can't eat the karban mincha when it's cholot. So ask the Gemara, el cholot matzi de kamrinan. So when we say that even if it's cholot, it's still considered matzah, l'may hichasa, regarding what is it considered still matzah. To teach us, loim me'odom yotzi v'yidei chavos v'peisach. The halach is to teach us that you can't eat a karban mincha when it's cholot, but you can eat matzahs on Pesach when it's cholot. Shavpi the chalte b'ma'ikara, that you put the matzah, you put the dough into boiling water, still, kiven dehad afyeh, if you bake that dough, the tanner in the oven, lechem ayini karina bay, it's still considered lechem ayini, v'adam yoshtei chavasa v'peisach. So Al Gemara said that achila gasa is not considered an achila. So ask Tosis, the Gemara, Masech the Nazir, says, Dorish Rabba Babachana, v'shem Rav Yochan. The Pasuk says, ki yisharam darke Hashem, tzadikim yel chubam, says the Mamashla Shnei B'nei Adam, it refers to two people, Shetzalu as Pescheim, that roasted the carbon Pesach, Echad Achle L'Shei Mitzvah, one ate L'Shei Mitzvah, Echad Achle L'Shei Mechil Gasa. Zesh Achle L'Shei Mitzvah, all of Neymar, V'tzadikun Yechubam. The person that ate it L'Shei Mechila fulfills the Mitzvah. Zesh Achle L'Shei Mechil Gasa, Namib Pashim Yikash L'Bam. But Taz Taisis, clearly, that Gemara seems to be teaching us that even if you ate it achila gasa, which of course you shouldn't have done, you still yoytze the mitzvah. But our Gemara, as Tosfos, is teaching us that if you eat it achila gasa, you're not yoytze the mitzvah at all. So Tosfos quotes the Brain of Tam that there are two types of achila gasa. If it's an achila gasa that the person is so satiated, that he has absolutely no pleasure, that's not considered an achila and he's not yoitza. But if somebody not really enjoying the food, but it's not to that degree, that's still considered a valid achila. Tosfos Yesharim gives a different teretz. If somebody ate as much as he needs to eat, and then he decided not to eat afterwards, then that's called an achila gasa. But if somebody is eating, and he's overeating, but he's still in the middle of his original act of eating, which wasn't achila gasa, that's not considered an achila gasa. Tosfos also says that another teretz that Tosfos suggests, that when the Gemara that we quoted in Masechet Nazir, the Tosfos quoted in Masechet Nazir, says that if you eat achila gasa, you yoitza the mitzvah, it's not referring to how you eat it, or how full you are, or how hungry you are. It's actually referring to what was your kavana when you ate it. If you had the proper kavana when you ate it, then you're yoitza. If you did not have the proper kavana, you're still yoitza, but that's upaisim yikashlubim. The Mishnah Melech says that our Gemara just said that achila gasa lo shme achila. Says the Mishnah Melech, the same halacha applies to shti gasa, that if somebody overdrinks, that's also considered that he's not considered that he drank. So we learned from the pasuk by Yom Kippur, the Torah says a shaloi su'una, that from there we learn achila gasa is not considered a valid achila. Says the Mishnah Melech, from here we see that when, that's like we learned, that achila gasa lo shma achila, the halacha will be that if somebody eats shloi kederech achila asai, if somebody eats a food that not in the normal way of eating, that is considered not eaten, and it's not considered an act of yechila. And the Mishnah Melech says the reason why, because you only chayiv for achila. He says the definition of achila is that you enjoy what you eat. But when you're eating with an achila gasa, you're not enjoying that food and that eating. And since that you're not enjoying that, that's not considered achila gasa. The Shagas Arya takes it a step further. He says it's like eating earth. It's like not like eating food. You're only chai for achila because it's considered an act of achila. But if you're eating something which is not food, it's not considered. And it's not considered an achila. The Ramah says, however, that if somebody ate a lot and he's full, but now he eats something which is particularly good tasting, particularly delicious, sweet, the Gemara says, Rafka l'psum shchicha. There's always room for something that tastes good. And since there's always room for something that tastes good, then it's considered, that would not be considered an achila gasa. An achila gasa is only in a case where you're eating something that isn't really particularly delicious, and you're eating it when you don't really need to eat it. There's a very interesting shaila regarding Hilchos Brachos. Our Gemara just taught us that an achila gasa, eating something when you're overeating, is not considered an act of achila. So the question is, would somebody make a bracha? Would somebody make a bracha on an achila gasa? And it seems that most poskim are of the opinion that if you eat food at achila gasa, then you wouldn't make a bracha on a achila gasa. Says, and that's really the psak of the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Kuf Tzadik Zayin, Suf Katan Chav Ches. And I saw a very interesting shaila. Many people have a minig. Many people have a custom that when they, by a yard site, they drink al chayim. But they don't particularly enjoy what drinking whiskey, liqueur. But they're only drinking it because they want to make al chayim. The shaila's tshuvas, V'yivarech David says that it could very well be that you wouldn't make a bracha on that, because that's in the category of an achila gasa. You're not really eating something that you enjoy eating. And if you're eating something that you don't really enjoy eating, it could very well be that that's not considered an act of achila that you should be chayiv. The Gemara also said that if something is cholot, the cholot is still considered matzah, but there's a special halacha that you can't be yotza. You can't be yotza eating matzah from a carbon mincha with cholot. And therefore the halacha is that you can make matzah that way. Our minhag is that we don't, because we're not exactly sure what is considered an act of chalita. There's a question in Hilchos Shabbos. The halacha is, in Hilchos Shabbos, ein bishul acha bishul. If you cook something, a solid food, and then you cook it again on Shabbos, that's not considered an act of bishul. Ein afiyah acha afiyah. If you cook something, and now you cook it again, ein acha afiyah acha afiyah. But the Rishonim already discussed what is going to be the halacha if there's bishul after afiyah, or the afiyah acha bishul. So the Reuven brings a raya that our Gemara says that if you started with the dough that you chalte, that means you were mevashel it, and then you baked it, it's considered matzah. So from here we see that there's a fear acha bishul, because if there wouldn't be considered an act of a fear after the bishul, once you cooked the chalita, you did chalita, then it's not considered baked. So that could be an act how could we consider matzah? It must be that the halacha teaches us that yesh afiyah acha bishul. That's the Reuven. The Eglei Tal says that that's necessary. Not, it doesn't mean that the afiyah that comes after the bishul is an act of afiyah. It could be that the afiyah that is done after the bishul is only an enhancement of the bishul. It's enough to make it into matzah, but it has nothing to do with what we're speaking about, the shaila of yesh afiyah acha bishul, ein afiyah acha bishul. It could very well be that it's not considered a new act of afiyah that one should be chai for it on Shabbos. Teaches us the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, hacholos leivimtoi, if somebody does chalitza on his Yivama, he is considered like one of the brothers as far as Hilchos Yerusha. So the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching us that we know if a brother chooses to do Yibum, that brother gets the entire Yerusha of the deceased brother. The Mishnah here is teaching us that if the brother chose to do Chalitza, he's considered like one of the other brothers. And the Gemara will explain this more. If the brother who died still had a father, so we know when it comes to Hilchos Yerusha, if somebody dies without children, but he still has a father, his father is his Yerush, teaches us the Mishnah. If he still has a father, the assets go to the father. Hakonis, but as we just mentioned, if somebody does yibum, zocha ben chashim shel achav, the brother who does the yibum becomes the one that gets all of the assets of the brother, gets all of the assets of the brother who passed away. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ben kach or ben kach, whether if he did yibum or whether if he did chalitza, ben kach or ben kach, even though he's the brother that yibum, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is im yesham av, if there's a father, from the chasm shalav, the father always yarshins before a brother, even if the brother did yibum. Says the Gemara, pshita, the Mishnah says that if the brother did chalitza, he's going to get a shear like all the other brothers. What's the chiddush? Answers the Gemara, sakadat chamina. We would maybe think, suggest the Gemara, chalitza b'yakam yibum kaima, that the brother who did chalitza, it should be considered as if he is the brother who did yibum. And just like we said, that the brother who does yibum gets all of the assets, maybe the brother who does chalitza should also get all of the assets. So this is a very v'nishka kula nachse, and maybe he should get all the assets, kamash malon, that he doesn't. So this is a very difficult question. Why should the brother who did chalitza be considered equal to the brother who did yibum? Yibum means he took in the wife. So we understand why you should get all the dead brother's assets. This brother who did chalitza did the opposite. He, so to speak, stayed away from the wife. So why should there be a havamina that he should get all of the dead brother's yerusha? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, because why would be the halacha? We're going to learn this halacha explicitly. If a brother did yibum, and right after he did yibum, he divorced the Yavama. The halacha is that is perfectly acceptable, but he still would get all of the assets. He would be the sole Yerush. So maybe doing Yibam and doing a get right afterwards are really the exact same. That's why the Gemara teaches us that it's not treated the exact same way. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is very different. The other pshat that I saw is that we have to understand what is the primary goal of the mitzvah yibum. What is the primary goal of the mitzvah chalitza? The primary goal of the mitzvah chalitza or yibum is to deal with the zika. And maybe what the Torah meant to say is that the brother who took care of the zika between the yavama and the brothers is the brother who's entitled to an entire Yerusha. And it shouldn't make a difference how that Zika was dealt with. If the Zika was dealt with Chalitza, or the Zika was dealt with a Yibum. That's what we're learning, that no, that if it's taken care of with Yibum, then the Yavam gets all of the Yerusha of the dead brother. If it was taken care of with Chalitza, he's not entitled. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that it doesn't get anything. It should have said he's only like one of the other brothers. So that can't be what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. It says the Gemara, what the Mishnah is teaching us, the opposite. Since by doing chalitza, he deprived this woman of being able to have yibum, and therefore, maybe he should be punished. Therefore, tells the not even get a share in his dead brother's Yerusha, Kamash Malon, that he doesn't lose his share. But the Mishnah said, "Im Yeshamav, if none of the brothers did Yibum, but there's a father, the father, when it comes to somebody dies without children, his father has preference in Yerusha over anybody else. The father has precedence over his children, the brothers of the deceased brother. We learned in the Mishnah, Hakarnis is Yavamtai, says that if somebody does Yibum, then he gets all of the Yerusha of the dead brother. Says the Gemara, my Tama, from where do we learn this? Because the Pasuk says, Yokum Hashem Echav Ameis, Amrachmana, he Varekam. By him teaching us, by him taking that over, he takes over all his assets. And Varekam means that he now is in the place of the brother. And since he's now in the place of the brother, he gets the entire Yerusha of his brother. Rav Yehuda says no. Even though this brother did Yibum, the brother if there's a father, the father gets the entire Yerusha of his dead son. Amu'ula, says the Gemara, Allah Rav Yehuda. The Allah is like Rav Yehuda. V'ken Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Allah Rav Yehuda. V'amu'ula v'tem Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, my Tam de Rav Yehuda. What is the basis for Rav Yehuda's position? The Ksiv V'hoi B'chor Ashtaylid, Yochum Hashem Eichav HaMeis, K'b'chor. He's treated like a B'chor. Ma B'chor Ein Le'b'chaya Av. Even though a B'chor gets a double portion of the Yerusha, that's only after the father passes away. But as long as the father's alive, he doesn't get that double portion. Af hai nami. Here, this son also, ein loy b'chaya av. Says the Gemara, ima b'cha noitl p'nishnayim lachem misas av. Just like the bechor does get a double shear after the father passes away, af hai, so we should say that this brother, the yavam, even though Rabbi Yehuda is saying that as long as the father is alive, doesn't get a double shear, but maybe noitel pishnayim lachem misas av, he should get a double shear after the father dies. Says the Gemara, we can't say that. Midi Yaakov Hashem Aviv Ksiv. It doesn't say that he gets a special treatment from the father's Yerusha. Yaakov Hashem Achik Ksiv. And only from the brother does he get special treatment. V'lo Hashem Av. Emo, says the Gemara, maybe we should say, Hecha Delekel Av Delishkel Nachla. If there's no surviving father who's going to be the Yerush, that's when to sky mitzvah yibum. That's when we'll have a mitzvah yibum with the yavam doing yibum and getting the entire yerusha of the dead brother. However, heicha dekaav. But if there's a surviving father, like shokel nachla, and therefore the yavam doesn't get a share, maybe under those circumstances, like to sky mitzvah yibum, there's no mitzvah yibum at all. Says the Gemara, why would I say that? Mid the yibum benachla tarachmana is the act of yibum connected to Hilchas Yerusha, Yivum Yami. The halacha is that there's a mitzvah to do Yibum. V'yikanachlia, if there's a Yerusha that he's entitled to, shokel, he'll take it. V'yiloi, and if there's no such Yerusha that he's entitled to, loy shokel. Says the Gemara, Yosef Chanina Kara Kameid Rabbi Yanai, V'yosef Kama Aloch Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, so Rabbi Yanai said to him, Puk, go out, kariach, and say what you just said, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, say it outdoors. You're incorrect, because ain't halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Tana Tanaka made Rabbi Nachman, and there was a Tana that was learning our sugya in front of Rabbi Nachman, and he said, ain't halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rabbi Nachman asked him, El Kaman, who is the halacha like? The Rabbanan. They said, why are you telling me this? Pshita, it's obvious that that's the halacha. Because don't we have a rule that yochad v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. And that's the halacha. And therefore, of course, the halacha is like the chachamim. Amalei, so when the Tana heard Rav Nachman's reaction, Asmei, he asked him, so maybe I should erase, I should omit this statement that I just said, ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Because it's obvious that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei loy, you should not erase it. You should not have it deleted. At halacha isnich, you obviously, whoever taught you this, originally felt that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And then, umak shidah kashalach. And then he had questions that how could we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? And therefore, a fact. And therefore, because that's what happened, he made a bold statement saying that ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, that statement, according to the way it was taught, or l'mayda fach, the way it was taught, that was a very proper statement, shapa fach. Says the Mishnah Chodesh l'yivimtoi, if somebody does chalitza on his yivama, who also b'kroi v'seha, he may not marry her relatives, just like one may not marry the relatives of his grusha, so too may one not marry the relatives of his Chalutza. Who was the B'krei V'seha? And just like your grusha may not marry your relatives, he so too your Chalutza, he asur B'krei V'av may not marry your relatives. Who also, it details the Mishnah, who also by Ima, he's not allowed to marry the mother of the Chalutza, Eim Ima, the grandmother, Eim Aviha, the mother of her father, Bita, the daughter that she had from another man, Baspita, her granddaughter, Baspina, Bachoisa, Bezman Shikiemis, nor may he marry her sister as long as she is alive. Just like you now marry your wife's sister as long as your wife is alive, even though you divorced your wife. As long as that woman is alive, you're not allowed to marry her sister. So too may you not marry the woman, the sister of the woman who you did chalitza with, as long as she's alive. However, Achim, all the other brothers who did not do chalitza, mutarim, may. And even though, as the Rishonim explained, there is zika, it's only the brother who actually acted on the zika, who did the chalitza, has these halachas. All the other brothers don't have this halacha. Vi, and the chalutza, says the Mishnah, Asur ba'aviv may not marry his father, ba'avi aviv, ba'benoi, ba'ben benoi, ba'aviv, ba'ben achiv. Mutter Adam, says the Mishnah, a person, Shimon had two wives, Leah and Sarah. Shimon died without children. So now his wives, surviving wives, need Yibam Chalitza. So Reuven, who's the brother of Shimon, did Chalitza on Leah. But there was also Sarah, who was also a wife of Shimon. The halacha is that Reuven is Asur and all of the relatives of Leah, the woman with whom he did Chalitza, but the Sarah, he's not Asur with her relatives. That means he's not, of course, ever married the Tzara, because the halacha is that once you did Yibam Chalitza with one wife, it covers all the other wives. But the halacha, that you can't marry a relative of your Chalitza, is limited to the Chalitza itself, but not to the Tzara, the original Tzara. And the Gemara is going to explain why. For us, the Tzara is Krivus Achusai. But that means Reuven did Chalitza on Leah, and Rachel is Leah's sister, and Rachel's, so Reuven did Chalitza on Leah, Rachel, her sister, is married to Avram, and Avram has another wife, whose name is Sarah, who is the Sarah of Rachel. When Avram dies, Reuven may not marry Sarah. And the Gemara is going to explain why that is the halacha. That's the way Rashi explains the Mishnah. Other Rishonim, the Ritva, says what the Mishnah means to say that you have two brothers who marry two sisters, and one of the brothers died, and one of the other brothers did Chalitza, and then the second brother died, so the wife is Asur to that brother because she is a Chois Chalutzasa, and not only may he not do Chalitza on her, but he may not even do a Yibam on the Tzara of Achois Chalutzasai. So our Mishnah, we had learned earlier in our Masechta that there were women who are Erva. Some women are Erva Medaraisa, and some women are Erva Medrabonim. Those are called Shnias. So now the Gemara begins with a question. Ibailuhu, they asked the following question. Gazru Shnias B'Chalutza? When Chazal, as we're learning in our Shia today, was strict by a Chalutza, that you have to, that the one that did Chalitza is not allowed to marry her relatives. Is that only by Erva Daraisa, or is it even by Shnias, even by Erva Darabonin? Ibailu, Gazru Shnias by Chalutza, did they make the rule of Shnias by Chalutza Aloy? By Erva Daraisa, could we say, when somebody is an Erva Medaraisa, that's where Gozer B'Rabbanan, there's a rule that you can't marry that relative. But Shnias, that Gozer B'Rabbanan Shnias, but by Chalutza, which is not an Erva Medaraisa, Loi Gozer B'Rabbanan Shnias, the rule of Shnias wasn't said. Adem Aloy Shna, the rule of Shnias was said by any type of Erva, whether she's an Erva Medaraisa or Erva Medrabbanan. Toshma, so the man wants to bring Raya from our Mishnah. It says, who Asa be'em ima, he's not allowed to marry the mother of his chalutza, or be'em ima, and the grandmother of his chalutza. Vila em ima, her great-grandmother, which is a shnia, like tani. Why didn't the Mishnah mention it? Because obviously, shnias are not asur, says the Gemara. That's not a proof. Dilma haina tam de loitani, the reason why this woman was not mentioned in our Mishnah, become the Boil Misni Sefer. We're going to learn in the Sefer Mutarim that the brothers of this Chalutza, the brothers who did not do Chalitza, don't have any restriction. Vitana, if we would have learned in the Reisha, Be'em Em Ima, Havamina, we would think that when it says Ach Mutarim, it will be Dafka Be'em Em Ima, Av Be'em Ima Be'ima, Loi, to make, and that's not true, because the other brothers are mutter and all the relatives of the Chalutza, says the Gemara. That's not a great proof. For listening, aim, ima, The Mishnah should have said that he can't do chalitza even with the great-grandmother, who is a shnia, and then say, these are all the women that the chalitz may not marry, and then say, achim matarim b'kolam. Says the Markasha, that is a good kasha. But often when we learn in our sugya, when the Gemara, we say that there's two words that seem to mean the same, but they're not the same. One is the word kasha, and one is the word tuyufta. Both mean that there's a question that we don't have an answer. But we often say that the difference between a kasha and a tuyufta is a kasha has an answer. A tuyufta doesn't have an answer. And this, they say, is the source for knowing that. Why is this the name for saying that? The reason why this is the name for saying this, I saw, is a beautiful pshat. Because in our Gemara, even though the Gemara just said kasha, the halacha actually is that we're going to learn that a chalutza you're also in the shnias. So you see that even though the Gemara had a kasha, it doesn't mean that we follow what the kasha says. Says the Gemara Toshma, so the Gemara attempts to bring another raya. The Mishnah said, he has surah, ba'aviv, uba'avi aviv, k'tanimiya avi aviv, that she can't marry the avi aviv of the chalutz. Or my love, why can't she marry him? Because of the chalutz, the havelai, that she is to him, kalas benoi, and that is a shniyah. Says the Gemara, that's not why she's also to him. The reason she's also to him is Mishum Mistam, because of her deceased husband, Davalei Kal Spanoi. So that's not a raya to the halacha of Shnias. Toshma, the Mishnah also said that she's not allowed to marry the son or the grandson of the Chaylitz. Well, my love, isn't that Mishum HaChaylitz? Because of the relationship to the Chaylitz, which is the Havilah, because she to the grandson of the Chaylitz is Eishes Avi Aviv. So we see that that's a Shni and she's Osir. Again, says the Gemara, the reason she's Osir to him is not because of the Chaylitz, it's because of Mistav, her original dead husband, the Havilah Eishes Achi Avi Aviv. She is the wife of his great uncle, which is a Shniya. Says the Gemara, but how can we suggest, asked the Gemara, that is a shnia of a dead husband, and that's why she can't marry him, and has nothing to do because he's a shnia to the person who did chalitza. Ask the Gemara, when we learned early in our Masechta which relatives are considered a shnia and which relatives are not considered a shnia, for me machshir eishes achi avi aviv. Aveima said that's not considered a shnia. Says the Gemara, a meimer that's going to have to explain the Mishnah, the meimer who holds Eishes Achi Avi Aviv is not a shnia, Mukala is going to be talking about a case by Barbara of the Saba. Then talking about a grandson of the grandfather, that the father of the person who died and the father of the Chaylitz, and that is Osir. And the Mishnah said that she's not allowed to marry the father, and it says also the son of the grandfather, because once one of the brothers did chalitza, the Isser Eishes Ach kicks back to all the brothers. Yehachi, but says the Gemara, if that's what was meant with this case, that's already mentioned. Hainu Achav Ben Achav, that's the brother of the chalitz and the nephew of the chalitz. So why need it be repeated? Answers the Gemara, because Tana Achim and Av, Tani Achim and Aim. Because till now, we were only speaking about brothers, paternal brothers, who were all brothers who could have done chalitza. And the halacha is the brother who did chalitza, and even the brothers who didn't do chalitza are osur. But chalitza is not connected to maternal brothers. And now we're learning that even maternal brothers have this problem. Toshma, the Tana Rechia. Rechia, when it mentioned different relatives, says Medivrei Torah, some relatives are also to this woman, midaraisa va'aba midivrei seifrim, and some are midrabbanan. Av, the father of the chaylitz, ubenoi, the son of the chaylitz, va'achiv, and the brother of the chaylitz, uben achiv, and the nephew of the chaylitz, are all also midaraisa. Avi aviv, the grandfather of the chaylitz, that means the father's father of the chaylitz. Vavi imai, the mother's father of the chaylitz. Ben benai, the grandson of the chaylitz. Or ben bitai, and the grandson of the chaylitz, either from his son or from his daughter. Amidir abonim. Ketanimiyah. But let's delve into this braisa. Ketanimiyah avi aviv, the grandfather. Lav, what's the reason? Mishim chaylitz. That what makes that man also to this woman? Because of the chaylitz. Vavalei kalas benai. El, says the Mara, so we see that Shnius Asr, says the Mara, Loi, Mishum Misna. And the reason is, Davalei Kalis Benoi, the Chalutza is the daughter-in-law of the son, because what happened was, she was married to the grandson of the dead person, and therefore, she became an Asr because of that. Tashma, Rav Chiya mentioned, Avi Imai, the father of the mother of the chaylitz, my lam shem chaylitz, because she is kalas bitoy. Says the Gemara, that's not what made her asur. Ella mishem misna davas kalas bitoy. She's the daughter-in-law of the daughter of the grandfather of the because of her dead husband. Toshma uben benoy, my lam shem chaylitz. Vavalei eshes avi aviv. Says well, loy mishem misna davalei eshes chi aviv. Ask the Gemara the question that we had earlier, that's not usur. Says the Gemara, a maim is going to have to say that indeed she becomes usur to the man because of the chaylitz, and a maim is going to have to agree that there goes rishnius bechalutza. But what's going so a maimer, we certainly know, will hold that you're usur in the shnius of the chaylitz. What will everybody else hold? Toshma, ben bitoy, my lam mishum chilitz. So we see that what may shnius by the chaylitz, mishum chaylitz. Vavale eishes avi imai. Says the Gemara, loy mishum misna. Vavale eishes achi avi imai. Ask the Gemara, v'hagav shnius the erva. But by shnius of erva, loy gazru. There is no such a shnia. El must be because of the chaylitz. And now we have a final proof for gazru shnius bechalitza. We learned in the Mishnah. Motor Adam, the Krivat Saras Chulutzasai. You're not allowed to, the Chalutz can marry the relatives of the Tsar of the Chalutza, but he's not allowed to marry the Tsaras Krivat Chulutzasai, the Tsaras of his Chalutz's relatives. Amrap Tuvi Bakisna, Haba Tsaras Chalutza, if somebody has relations with the Tsaras Chalutza, that means one woman had Chalitza, the other wife, if a brother has relations with the wife who did not have chalitza, so she's an eshesach, havlad mamzer, my tama is surakaima. Once chalitza wasn't done with her, she reverts back to be considered an eshesach. Amar Rav Yosef afanan nami tanina. A mishnah is a riot to this because the mishnah says muta adam b'tzara shrayves chulutzasay. Yam b'tzara avroy. If we're going to say that the tzara of the chalutza, that tzara is not considered a chalutza, because that's why he can have relations with her sister. Eli amr tzara ka chalutza damya, if we're going to say that tzara is considered like a chalutza, a my mutter, why would he allow to have relations? Why would that not be considered the relatives of his chalutza? Ask the Gemara, lema tavati yifta Rabbi Yochanan, should we not say that our Mishnah is a proof against Rabbi Yochanan? Dama, because Rabbi Yochanan said on daf yuram a base, that if somebody did chalitza on his yivama, and then he had relations with the tzara of that yivama, with the other wife of his dead brother, whom did not have chalitza, bein who, whether it was the brother who did yibam, bein achim, ein chayavim loyal chalitza karis, v'loyal tzarasa karis. And we explained when we learned that Gemara, because it's considered that the one that had chalitza is a shliach for everyone. Damalach Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, v'tizbra, does that raya that Rabbi Yosef is trying to bring for our Mishnah a good raya, a chayitz chalutza, this of a chayitz chalutza is the raisa. Until you're asking a question on the tzara, we should have asked on the achayitz tzara. From a shlokish kanshan rabbi, a chayitz grusha medivrei taira, a chalutz chalutza medivrei seifrim. So we see that only on the chalutza is asur, but the tzara, they didn't make a gzera. But even if you say tzara chalutza, that has nothing to do with her sister. Ask the Gemara, why is the halacha that the chaylitz is mutter Bekarvas Tsaras Chulutzosoi, or Maishnahai, but he's also with Tsaras Krivas Chulutzosoi. He's a mutter with the relatives of the Tsara, but he's also in the relatives, not of the Chalutza, but the relative, the Tsara of the relatives, answers the Gemara, because a woman will never take her co-wife to the Bezdin. Hach the Azla Behei Bedina, but she will take that other woman, it's not an enemy. Hach the Azla Behei Dina Gosbar Abonim. Hai the Loy Azla Behei Dina Loy Gosbar Abonim.